First Samuel 21, as time allows, I want to tell you about David historically, and tonight, what is so remarkable is the number of occurrences where David, in relation to food and drink, are mentioned. So let me read a little bit from one or two, and then, as time allows, others. Perhaps. 1 Samuel 21. This is the passage that I was going to have read this morning. So let's read it tonight. 1 Samuel 21, starting at verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech came to meet David, trembling, and said unto him, Why art thou alone? And no man with thee. And David said to Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed the young men to such and such a place. Now half of what he says is true, and half is false. Verse 3. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatsoever there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under my hand, but there is holy bread, if only the young men have kept themselves from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth women have been kept from us about these 3 days. When I came out, the vessels of the young men were holy. Though it was but a common journey, how much more than today shall their vessels be holy? So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg. The Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thy hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the vale of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is none other save that here. And David said, There is none like it. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, king of Gath. Now, let's look at chapter 22. See the outcome of this request for food. Here is King Saul, and he says in verse 8, the last part, There is none of you that is sorry for me, or disclosed unto me, that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait, as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who stood by the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were at Nob. And they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here am I, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me, to lie in wait as it this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who among all thy servants is so faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law, and is taken into thy counsel, and is honorable in thy house? Have I today begun to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knoweth nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the guard that stood about him, Turn, and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew that he fled, and did not disclose it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and he slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew on the day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he will surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, for with me thou shalt be in safeguard. That's all we'll read for now. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know such strange things are contained in the Word of God, how that those who tell lies escape, and those that do good perish. Our God, those that tell the truth are not believed, and those that tell lies are taken to heart. We pray that we shall learn from these things, our God. Let us know that we would expect, if we follow thee faithfully, that no evil would befall us or suffering. That we learn from these passages, our God, that these things are not always true. And so let us be prepared for what comes into our lives from the portions that we have read tonight. We thank you for the blessings of this day, our God. Have we not remembered your Son? Has not the Word of God been preached? And we are here tonight, and we desire to hear more about Jesus and the Son of David and the truths contained in these passages. So by thy Spirit, impart these truths to our hearts and make them understood and make them effectual in our lives. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and again glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Of the many things that we can say about David, one of them is most interesting. When King Saul is trying to capture David and put him to death, he is speaking to the Ziphites, and he says to them, Now, I want you to help me with all of your ability to catch this man, because it has been told me that he dealeth very subtly. And what I want you to understand is that this truth spoken by Saul is correct. And again, David dealt subtly, but what it meant in reality is that David is a liar. Let me tell you about David and his lies. When he's talking with Jonathan, and he has just fled from Jonathan's father, King Saul, he says, Now your father is going to expect me to eat with him when the time comes. He said, But when I'm not there, you tell him this. Tell him that there is an annual sacrifice in the city of Bethlehem, and I have to be there. And that's why I'm not with him at the table. He had no intention of going to Bethlehem. He's going to among the heathen, but he's not going to Bethlehem. And so he says, Now, you tell your father that, and he will be appeased. Again, when he comes to this king, this priest, the high priest, Ahimelech, and he says, why are you here? He says to him, he says, because the king has sent me on a secret mission. I'm not to tell anybody about it or what he has commanded me. And for that reason, I need some food from you. There is more subtlety from David, which is a lie. Now, what happens is this, that when he tells these lies, this subtlety, it endangers the lives of those to whom he tells these lies. You realize that his friend Jonathan, when he goes and tells his father this subtlety, his father is infuriated and he's prepared to kill his own son Jonathan. He endangers the life of his best friend Jonathan when he tells this lie, because Saul knows that it's a lie. And Jonathan tells his father that lie, and his life is in danger. Now, Jonathan escapes at that time, but what is so heartbreaking is that when he comes and tells Ahitub's son, Ahimelech, a lie, that the king has sent him on a secret business, he's given a command, and nobody is to know about it, this lie not only endangers the life of Ahimelech, but 84 of his relatives as well. And what is so sad is that when he is called by King Saul and questioned about the matter, Ahimelech tells him the truth. He says, when he came to me, why, he came as your son-in-law. He came on a mission from you. And I did not give him any counsel. I did not inquire of God for him. And he tells King Saul the truth. But King Saul will not believe it. And so he commands his personal bodyguard, fall upon these priests, and there are 85 of them there. Fall upon them and slay them. But thank God for this. His personal bodyguard will not lay a hand upon these priests. But Doeg, the Edomite, the one who came and told Saul where David was hiding, what happened the previous time, when he tells him that, he turns to him and he says, you fall upon these priests. And this one man takes a sword and goes and without mercy slaughters 85 of the priests of God. Now, who is responsible for that? David, when one of Ahimelech's sons escapes, Abiathar, and he tells him what has happened. He says, I have been the occasion for the death of all these persons. And David sees through it then. He tells lies, and whenever he tells lies, it endangers lives, or it costs the lives of those about whom he tells lies. He tells more lies. Do you remember? In the matter of Uriah the Hittite, he tells lies, and there is subterfuge in his life. He makes fabrications. And so indeed, David was a subtle man, but it's not a good thing when David is subtle. It's one thing to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove, but God does not expect us to resort to lies. And yet, in the life of David, I've seen this characteristic, and it seems to be nothing if his life is endangered, to tell lies, even though it endangers the lives of others. And all of this, think, all of this is because of food that David asked of Ahimelech the priest. I hesitate because that is Ahitub, the father of Ahimelech, the father of Abiathar, and so I had to think those things through. And so here is Ahimelech, and he is put to death because of the lie that David tells him. Now, let's think of Ahimelech for a moment. He is the high priest, and what happens is that in a moment, all of those that have come from his loins are slain before his eyes. Who can imagine such a thing? You would think of this great dynasty of Ahimelech that is going to continue. And his son Abiathar did escape. It's remarkable how when someone is trying to destroy all the priests or all the kings, someone escapes, just as in the case of Joash. You see, Athaliah, his grandmother, thought that she had put all of her children, her grandchildren, to death so that she could be king. But Joash escaped. And in like manner, Saul would have all the priests destroyed, but Abiathar, the priest, escaped. And so here is Ahimelech. And if it were possible, Satan would destroy all of these of priestly blood in a moment of time. And it shows concerning ourselves. Think, you have children, and God has taken one on an occasion and another on an occasion. But in this instance, all of those associated with Ahimelech were destroyed, just as in the case of Job, Satan in his anger went and destroyed all the children of Job in a moment of time. And so this is why, if you have children, embrace them, love them, do what you can for them, because you do not know when in a moment of time they shall be taken away from you. And all of this takes place because David told a lie to get this holy bread from Ahimelech, the priest. Now, I can understand why he had to tell a lie. Suppose he had gone to Ahimelech, and please notice that when David comes alone, he is wondering, he is afraid that his life is in danger when David comes alone. David, knowing this, the fear that what might happen, because at this time, King Saul is a raging lion and he destroys whom he pleases. He does what he will. And God told them what would happen. And so if David had come and said, look, I'm fleeing from the king for my life. He's trying to kill me. And I want you to give me some bread and I want you to give me a weapon. I have no doubt that Ahimelech would say, absolutely not. Because when I do this for you, you may escape with your life, but I'm not going to escape with my life. I'm not giving you anything to eat. And so David had to act subtly and tell him this lie. But when you're going to tell lies for your own benefit, think how it involves others and how it can destroy them, can harm their reputations, can also cost them their lives. And so here, in the case of Ahimelech, one that has a relationship with David, when David has need, and he meets the need of David, but in doing so, it costs him his life. Now, this is the reason, and I will emphasize it again this morning. I told you that half of what David said was true. He said, I have appointed the man to such and such a place. And if you look, you will look in vain to find that anybody ever came with David, that he ever went to them and gave them this bread. You'll find that he was absolutely alone as far as we know. But I know that he wasn't alone, that he had appointed them to such and such a place, because the matter is put to an end when our Savior says, and that's why I told you in Matthew 12 and in Mark 2 and in Luke 6, I told you this morning that the Savior said, do you not know what David did when he was in hunger? He and the young men that were with him, he ate the bread and he gave bread to those that were with him. Then the world can be destroyed, and you're not going to dissuade me that young men were not appointed in this place with David, and David went and gave them bread. But it confirms it from that fact that the Lord Jesus corroborates it, but I told you, and this is why I mentioned this morning, you'll find that the holy bread, each loaf contained 2/10 ephahs of fine flour, and when you work it all out, you'll find that you have flour that is already milled and prepared. You have a bushel of flour from which bread can be made. And I think it would be absurd if David, by himself, is going down the road with all the bread that you could make from a bushel of flour, and he's going to eat it as he goes down the road. He's going to take and give some of it to the young man that he had appointed to this place and that place. So, for that reason, what is said in the Old Testament is commented upon in the New Testament, and concerning the historicity of David, I want you to see again how the Lord Jesus confirms some of the things that the critics would look upon and contradict. The Lord Jesus says they are true. It's like this. They like nothing better than to laugh at fire and brimstone falling upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, remember Lot's wife. The Lord Jesus believed that fire and brimstone fell and that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. And they laugh at us when we speak about Jonah, the historicity of that incident. The Lord Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of a great fish 3 days and three nights. And you go through the Old Testament, and the historical events are confirmed by Christ one after another. And then you come to the rest of the New Testament, and you find that these other events are confirmed as well. They laugh about Balaam's donkey speaking with man's voice. And yet, in St. Peter, Peter says, it happened. And so, I'm quite prepared to become a fool for the Lord Jesus Christ when it's contained in the Old Testament. And if you wonder, is this an allegory? Is this simply a picture? But it's spoken of as historical in the New Testament. I'm prepared to be a fool for Christ's sake when it's confirmed by our Savior and by the inspired apostles as they write these epistles. And so I mention these things, the historical events in the life of David. Now, one other thing that I would mention, and I just want you to think about it, because here is the holy bread that has been consecrated, and it has been placed upon the table of showbread. And after a week, fresh bread is brought in and placed upon that table. And these are the instructions, that only the priests may eat that bread, and they have to eat it in a holy place. You say, but it's no longer holy. It's been taken off of that table. It says it is a special consecrated bread, and even though it's been taken off of that table and its use is no longer in the holy place, in the presence of God, it said the priests, and they have to be holy, and they have to eat it in a holy place. Now, I'm telling you these things because I cannot tell you the solution, but I know what I would and would not do. I've seen it in more assemblies than one. We take the bread that has been on this table, that has been consecrated, and it's only bread, but then we pray, and we thank it. We thank the Lord that it is representative of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there is a special quality about it. But then we take it off that table, and what do? The children eat it? Why, it's treated as if it's common bread. You say it is common bread. It is nothing but bread. It hasn't been transubstantiated. Of course not. But it's not common bread. And I find this. The bread was to be eaten only by holy persons in a holy place in the Old Testament. And also this, if there were any of the meat sacrifices that were left over on the third day, it says they are to be burned with fire. And if I had my way, and I would do things exactly, I would have a special furnace in Goldsboro where anything that was left over, I would burn it with fire. However, this is what I find. If the children who are eating it are hungry, that's one thing. And at the same time, if you believe that God's creatures, it says, he looks over the sparrow, he feeds them, if you want to give it to them, that's one thing. But I would never, from that bread that I have taken of and have thought of the body of Christ, I would never think of eating that bread as common bread after that, unless I were hungry and destitute, and then God would say it. I simply mention that. I'm telling you how it was in the Old Testament, and I say that at times we can be so loose. No, we don't believe in things like that. But there is a sacredness to it. So keep that in mind. So here is Ahimelech, And he makes sure before those that are not priests eat that bread, he makes sure that they are in a clean condition outwardly, and I would hope that their hearts were pure as well. Now, what I will do is this. I will tell you again about someone that asks for food, and one that is a relative of David. I mentioned it, and I want to give you some more details now. David mentioned the need, but not an absolute need, but there was a longing in the heart of David for water. He said, "Oh, that I had water from the well of Bethlehem that is by the wall." Now, here is simply a sigh, a request. He did not ask for it the way that David asked for those loaves of Ahimelech, the priest, but he simply let a request of his heart. There's a little nostalgia there. When I was a young boy, I drank water from the well of Bethlehem by the wall. I remember how it had a special taste. Oh, that I had a drink of that water today. And this comes from a historical group of David's mighty men, and they are placed together, all of their exploits, and it says, three of these mighty men, and of these three, one of them is David's nephew, Abishai. It said, when they heard that, they went forth and they risked their lives to get through the host and get water from the well of Bethlehem, and they bring it back and they give it to David. And I cannot help but think of this. It says, whosoever shall give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones that believe in me. And so here is a cup of cold water, and the Lord Jesus mentions that, but in a different way. Our Savior, having mentioned it, David mentions it. He says, "Oh, that I had a cup of water from the well of Bethlehem by the wall." And here is one who is prepared to die for David. And please notice again, when this one is requested food, it costs him his life. And here is David, and he requests water, and his nephew risks his life. But he goes and he successfully brings this water back to David. And then David understands the sacredness of it. It is not that he is belittling what his nephew has done, but he understands that it is of such great worth that he is not worthy to drink that water, but he pours it out as a sacrifice to God. And so again, a life is endangered when David wants something to eat or David wants something to drink. Now, I will tell you of another. In 1 Samuel 25, David has fled, and instead of being by himself, 400, now 600 men are associated with David. And David has been out in the wilderness, away from people, and while he's been there, there is a man named Nabal who has 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. All of his sheep have been there where David is, wherever they're feeding or wherever they're kept. And David's men have surrounded these sheep, and nobody has come and bothered them. No animals have taken even one of those sheep. And it's gone on and on and on for length of days. And then David hears that Nabal is having a sheep shearing. And he calls 10 of his young men. He says, "I want you to go, and I want you with all respect and politeness to make a request of Nabal for food." And these young men go and make such a plea that you would think it's impossible for Nabal to refuse to give them anything to eat. "David, thy servant, requests food. We've been taking care of your sheep, protecting your shepherds. Nothing has been touched all the time that they've been with us. Now, if you would, give us something to eat. Does not demand much, but just give us a token. Give us something to eat." And Nabal says to him, he says, "There are many servants nowadays that are running away from their masters, And why should I take my flesh and my water and give it unto you? You are not going to get anything from me. And so the 10 young men, being dejected, go away, and they go and tell David. And David says, gird your swords on your side. He said, God, do so unto me, and more so, if tomorrow morning about this time there is one male child left unto Nabal. Do you see again? Every time he wants something to eat, it endangers people's lives. But in the case of Ahimelech, he received food. In the case of Abishai, he received water. But in the case of Nabal, he would receive absolutely nothing. And while Nabal does not know what's going on, and his wife Abigail does not know what's going on, one of the young men who had been keeping the flock comes and says to her, I want you to understand what is about to take place. David and his men protected us. Everything the young men reported to Nabal, all of it was true, and they kept us safe. He said, but now David is going to come and he's going to destroy everybody that's associated with Nabal. And when Abigail heard this, she went and quickly got together abundance of food. She got bread, and she got raisin cakes, and she got sheep. She gathered together all of this food and went as fast as she could. And as David was coming with his men with their swords girded on their sides to destroy Nabal and everybody there, just as Doeg the Edomite destroyed everybody that was of the priestly class and of anybody that lived in the town of Nob. So David was going to come and destroy everything associated with Nabal. But Abigail comes and falls at his feet and respectfully tells him what had happened. And for once, it's quite in order, I believe, for her to give an evaluation of her husband. And it's easy. Now, you wives would probably like it if your husband was named Nabal. Why? Because it means a fool. And you say, so many of us are married to fools. Well, in this instance, this is what she said. She said, my husband's name is Nabal, and folly is with him. And so she said, please forgive and take this food as a token of what I think of you, and your kingdom is going to be established. And when it is, will you remember me and do me good? Will you do that? And then David turns and he says, why, what has happened is of God. This woman has come and she's restrained me from blood guiltness. Thank God for what she's done. And so he takes all of that food and he does nothing to Nabal and any of those that are associated with him. But this is what happens. As soon as Nabal sobers up, it says that he was drunken, and he had had a great feast. It said when the wine was gone out of him, he awakened the next morning, and his wife said, I have something to tell you. Do you realize that you came within an inch of your life and of having everything that you own destroyed, and all of your children as well? Do you understand that? And it said that when Nabal heard it, he became as a dead man. He became as a stone. And 10 days later, God struck him, and he died. And then, this is what is so rewarding for Abigail. Abigail sends men back. He sent the food in the first instance, and he did not get it. But the second time, he sends a proposal to Abigail, and she says, yes, I will have David as my husband. And so she goes, and she takes handmaidens along with her, and David gathers the first wife along the way. This is what is so interesting. I told you that David had 8 wives. The first one was Michal, and then after her came Abigail, and then Ahinoam. And you have to know some of these wives, because David had 20 sons, and some of these sons of David had events in their lives that are of the greatest importance. And so you have to know the mother of Adonijah, and you have to know the mother of Solomon. And Abigail gave him a second-born son, and his name was Daniel. But we know nothing more of him or of the other sons. We know something of the sons of Bathsheba and so forth. But this is what happened. And so David has Michal, and she never has children as his wife. And then he has Abigail, and she has one son that's mentioned. And then he has Ahinoam, and she gives David his firstborn, Amnon. And then you have Maacah, who has Absalom. You have Ahinoam. You have all of these wives that give David sons. And what is so remarkable is the request that David has for food and for drink. And every time a request is made, his life is endangered, and the lives of those of whom he requests the food and drink are endangered. But in some instances, things turn out well. And so there is another, but it is so full and so rich, I'm not going to tell you about that tonight. We shall simply stop here. Let us speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the things that you've shown us in the lives of others and the consequences of them. Let us know how easy it is to be subtle, in other words, to tell lies, to get what we want, to escape danger. We pray, our Father, that thou shalt teach us to tell the truth, seeking the truth in love. And let us realize that, our God. And let us be prepared to accept the consequences. We remember when that woman that had an issue of blood was asked, was confronted by the Savior, "Who touched the hem of my garment?" She with fear and trembling came and confessed all, and yet she received the blessing. And so let us know that we do not have to tell lies to get things, but you are able to give us the thing in your time and way if we speak the truth. And so, our Father, for those that were good to David, we are thankful that Ahimelech did give him food and the men that were with him, and we are thankful that Abishai was willing to risk his life for his devotion to his uncle David and give him water. And our Father, we are thankful that some wives who have foolish husbands are wise, and they preserve the life of the family. And so for everything that is given to David, just as those women in our Savior's life, they followed him about and ministered to his needs, we are thankful, our Father, that there were those who also ministered to the need of David and his followers. So let us learn from his life and our Savior's, and let us apply these things to our lives, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.